The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard it said that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whosoever says to his brother, 'Racha,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge. The judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown in prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce.' But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'Do not take false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is the throne of God, not by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening. Today's readings call us to meditate on God's law and our relationship to his law. We encounter Christ's continued teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. 2 weeks ago, we meditated on the Beatitudes, who we are called to become in Christ, those who live by virtue. Last Sunday, we learned what we are in Christ, salt and light to a bland, dark world. This week, we meditate on how we are to become virtuous and to become salt and light. Throughout the scriptures, the mountain symbolizes the bridge between God and man. Christ's proclamations in the Sermon on the Mount are foreshadowed by Moses as he goes up the mountain to receive God's law and comes down the mountain to give it to the people of Israel. Jesus, God incarnate, calls people up the mountain to teach them the heart of the law. Jesus does not just reiterate the law, he expands its reach from exterior actions and rules, the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, to an internal movement of love. If we have a misunderstanding of the law, we fail to understand God. We witness this in the parent-child relationship. A campfire at night generates warmth, flickers red and orange light, creating a cozy, comfortable center to gather around. We can even roast marshmallows and hot dogs as we enjoy the fire's beauty and have fellowship around it. The goods of the fire are easy to see as a place of warmth and of gathering. Yet a parent with a two-year-old is faced with protecting the child from danger, a danger that child doesn't perceive. If it is the child's first experience with a campfire, it is a mystical and exciting moment. And at 2 years of age, we all know they learn from touch and taste. They are drawn by the beauty and warmth of its, and it is natural for the child to reach out toward those flames. And the parent's response to the child is, "Thou shall not touch the flames." The act of pulling the child back creates an unspoken tension. At 2 years of age, the child has no way of understanding why what is beautiful is being denied them. The parent understands both the child's desire and the danger it poses. As a parent, many of us have tried to explain to a two-year-old, "It's going to hurt you, stay away, don't do this." But they can't understand what the words even mean. All they see is beauty and warmth, and suddenly the parent becomes an obstacle to something that is good to them. The child may cry or resist, not out of rebellion, but immaturity. The parent's command isn't punishment, it is protection until the child understands the fire properly. The parent doesn't step aside, but is not out of control, not angry, but because of love. The command comes before understanding, the rule before freedom. Over time, the child grows in understanding of the fire and learns to respect the fire. They even learn to help tend it and light it, to enjoy its beauty, but not to try and possess it. It is because the parent first taught the child to respect the fire. So what does it mean when we talk about the law? Our first reading tells us that God is all-seeing and understands the acts of every person. The God who gives us the law knows the heart and mind and our motivations. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount explains this by tying the actions to the heart of the actor. And he gives us a concrete example of this interior love. You have heard it said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. The church fathers read the commandments not as one-sided directives, but as a loving dialogue between God and man following the fall. We can now see the mountain as the connecting point between heaven and earth. God in the person of Christ comes down to earth and draws us up the mountain to receive heavenly guidance, like a parent guiding the child by the fire. The God who loves us and is love guides us to learn to love. Pope Benedict explains the relationship this way. So it is every precept of the law that becomes the true requirement of love, and all join in a single command: love God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. How does the command, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," become a dialogue with God? Jesus tells us that when we look at another with lust, we have already committed adultery within our hearts. Scripture uses this intimate relationship between the husband and the wife as the perfect model of love. And we are called to love others as Christ loves us and gives himself to us. Lust is in total opposition to love. It is like a campfire that burns out of control, consuming everything in its path, destroying the person it controls and everything that person touches. Lust seeks to possess another to satisfy personal desire. While it is clearly seen in the relationship between the man and the woman, it applies to all of our interactions with one another. When we encounter another, do we see the opportunity to serve that person, or do we ask, how can this person satisfy my needs and my desires in the moment? The law is the act of a loving father guiding us toward what is truly good. This Wednesday, we enter into the season of Lent. We begin the journey with Christ up the mountain. And as Christ prepares to give himself for us, we are invited to respond, to trust him more deeply, to listen to him more attentively, to walk more faithfully in the beauty of his law. For God's commands are not meant to restrict us, but to teach us how to love. And it is there, in that love, that we discover true freedom.